You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to Christmas Eve at Redemption. It's so good to be with you. I want to take a moment to welcome all of our first-time guests. If you're joining us for the first time, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. We're so glad that you can be with us. Welcome, everybody. Well, let me ask you this question. What's one of your favorite things about Christmas? Come on, let me know. How are you looking forward to celebrating Christmas? Why don't you type it in the chat? How many of you are ready to open some presents? Any kids out there? You're really excited, ready to open some presents? Maybe watch some Christmas movies. Maybe enjoy a special Christmas dinner. Now, I'm looking forward to waking up tomorrow morning and having a Christmas breakfast in my PJs and just having a lazy day with my boys and with my wife, Amy. It's going to be so beautiful. But Merry Christmas, everybody. Speaking of celebrating, I saw a funny meme the other day about when the wise men came to meet the baby Jesus. Yeah, just to be perfectly clear, these gifts are for your birthday and Christmas. Got it? Anybody out there, you share a birthday with Jesus? Man, if you do, happy birthday to you. Well, however you're celebrating this year, can I just encourage you to do one thing? And that is to make Jesus the guest of honor at your celebration. However you celebrate, let's make it about Jesus. Maybe tonight as you're having Christmas Eve dinner, you can take a moment to pray and just give thanks for the birth of our Savior. Maybe before you open presents, you might want to open up your Bible to Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story together. Maybe that could be a new tradition for you and your family. But whatever you do, let's make Jesus the guest of honor at our Christmas celebration, because after all, it's all about Him. It's His birthday. It's His celebration. Well, today we're continuing and wrapping up the Advent series that we've been in for the past few weeks. And what we've been doing in this series is we've been experiencing the Christmas story from the perspective of the different characters that we see famously depicted in nativity scenes this time of year. Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. And last week we looked at the wise men. And tonight we finally get to talk about the most important person in the Christmas story. And that is, come on, help me out, kids. You know the answer here. Yes, it's Jesus. Jesus. And so we're going to read together tonight from the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And I need you to participate with me at home. The words are going to be on the screen. So let's read this out loud together from the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Here's what it says. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Wow. You know, I've studied theology for years, and it still blows me away to think that the Son of God came to us in the form of a baby. I'm thinking about so many of you in our church family who have a newborn at home. You know, we've had a baby boom in our church this past year. So many babies. We've got a lot of baby dedications to do when COVID is over. And I want to thank all of you for contributing to church growth in our church. And we got some more babies on the way. And I commend all of you who have made really good use of your time in quarantine. You were productive. You didn't let it go to waste. Good for you. I'm proud of you. But here's the idea. It just amazes me to think about the Son of God coming as a baby. I mean, can you imagine changing the Son of God's diapers? You know, watching Jesus eat your meatloaf. It just amazes me. But tonight, as we revisit the Christmas story one final time, I want us to focus on just one question. And here it is. Where is God when we're hurting? Where is God when we're hurting? You know, this past year, there's been so much suffering. We've gone through a global pandemic, and many of us have lost loved ones, or we know someone who's lost a loved one. People have been out of work, and our lives have been disrupted. Our routines have been disrupted, and many of us, our plans have been ruined, and there's a sense of disconnectedness and loneliness. And I don't know about you, but have you ever felt at some point in time in this past year, going through this year, like, God, where are you in all of this? Like, do you see what's going on? You know, do you see what's happening on planet Earth? And some of you, you've been through painful experiences in the past where you've asked that question, like, God, where were you? Where was God when I went through that divorce? Where was God when I lost my job and went through that difficult financial time? Where was God when I prayed for that loved one who was sick that we lost? God, where were you? And I just want you to know that God can handle your questions. God can handle your questions. It's perfectly normal to ask that question. In fact, we see people all throughout the scripture asking that very question. It's Christmas Eve, and I don't have time to perfectly, tackle the theological problem of pain in one message. But here's what we know. The scripture tells us that we live in a fallen world, that God created the world and he created it to be good and perfect, but we know that something went wrong, right? And humanity rebelled against God and the curse of sin entered the picture, and the world is not as God originally intended it to be. We also know that much of the pain that we experience in this world is the result of our own decisions. I mean, God made us with a free will, and we can choose good or we can choose evil, and sadly, we see people choosing the latter all the time, and we see so much pain and suffering and people hurting each other and taking advantage of each other every day. And so, let's be honest, those answers, although they're true, they're not really comforting, right? And sometimes in the midst of a year like we've had this past year, theological answers don't really help us when we're asking this question like, God, where are you? And I want you to know that by the time of Jesus' birth, the people of Israel, God's people, were asking this very same question. They were waiting for centuries, for generations, they were waiting for a Messiah, for a Savior, for a Deliverer, for a King. They were God's chosen covenant people. But at the time of Jesus' birth, they were a conquered people. They were subjects of the Roman Empire. The period between the Old Testament and the New Testament is actually known as the silent period. It was 400 years long. God wasn't speaking. No prophecies. It was a long time to wait. It was a season of waiting and hoping and expectation. And the Jewish people, the people of God, were collectively asking this question, God, where are you? God, where are you? Then all of a sudden, fast forward to the New Testament, the angel Gabriel appears on the scene in Nazareth, and he appears to a young virgin girl named Mary, and he announces this amazing news that she was going to give birth to the Savior of her people, to Jesus, the one who would be the long-awaited, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then the angel speaks to Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is indeed of the Holy Spirit. And here's what Matthew says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. He says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Come on, church. God hadn't forgotten his people. God was coming to them, but in a new and surprising way. And his salvation wasn't just for them. His salvation was for the whole world. Remember the Christmas angels, that very first Christmas, that very first nativity, they announced the good news to the shepherds, and they said that this is good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Here's the idea. Just because God's work in your life isn't finished doesn't mean you're forgotten. Come on, somebody needs to know that tonight on Christmas Eve. Just because God's work in your life isn't finished doesn't mean you're forgotten. Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we're like, God, do you see me? God, do you see what I'm going through? Like, God, do you remember me? God, do you hear my prayers? But I want you to know, church, that Christmas reminds us just because God's work in your life is unfinished doesn't mean you're forgotten. God sees you. God sees you. The promise of Christmas is that God is with us. Not that all of our problems are going to go away. Not that we're never going to go through difficult times ever again. But he's a God who's with us. Now, the birth of Christ answers the question of where. Where is God? He's God with us. But it also reveals some things about who God is. Not just where God is, but who God is. And I'm not going to preach a long message tonight on Christmas Eve. I want to just leave you with two thoughts that I hope inspire you and encourage you. And so here's the first idea. Number one, he's the God who comes down. Come on, that's who he is. He's the God who comes down. The scripture tells us God is love, and love comes down. Love came down that very first Christmas. Isn't that what love does? Like, love is willing to come down and meet someone at their point of need. Love comes down and meets someone at their point of hurt. When someone loves you, they're willing to enter into your pain, to meet you at your point of need, and to love you through it in order to help bring you comfort and healing. I mean, for example, when you're hurting, do you really need a friend to come along and explain everything to you? Imagine you're going through a difficult time and a friend were to come over, you know, to try to comfort you, and they begin to try to explain everything to you. Well, let me tell you why you're going through this. Well, you made this decision and they did that to you, and this is why all of it's happening. You'd be like, get out of my face, right? That wouldn't help you. Why? What do you need them to do? You just need them to be there for you, to be with you. Rabbi Harold Kushner, in his best-selling book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, he said this: when we're going through a period of suffering, we don't need explanation, we need consolation. Come on, we just need to know that somebody is with us. Come on, he's God with us. He's the God who came down to us. Love comes down. He's the God who meets us in the midst of our hurts and disappointments, and he's with us. Jesus, we believe, the Son of God, left heaven, came to earth, took on flesh and blood, and was born as a baby, just like you and me. And he's gone through this life just like us. Like, Jesus knows what it is to experience pain and suffering and loss and abandonment and even death. And so God sees you. God is with you. He's the God who sees your pain. He sees your suffering. He sees your loss. He sees your disappointment, and he's with you. He's with you. Come on, Christmas reminds us that he's not just a God up there somewhere. He's God with us. He's not just some distant God that's unknowable, but he's a God who's walked in our shoes. Jesus reveals to us a God who can look at us and say, I know how you feel. I know how you feel because I've been there before. Come on, he's the God who comes down. But not only is he the God who comes down, he's the God who comes down in order to lift us up. Come on, he lifts us up. That's what we see Jesus do all throughout the Gospels. We see Jesus encountering people and loving people and healing people and setting people free and restoring people. And Jesus touches the untouchable, and he loves the unlovable, and he lifts people up. That's what we see. And that's what we've seen Jesus do in our lives. And in the lives of so many people in our church who are watching this broadcast online tonight, they would say, that's what Jesus did for me. He met me at my point of need, and he lifted me up. Come on, he's the God who came down into the mess of this broken world, in the midst of our broken dreams, and into our shame, and into our sin, and he lifts us up. God wasn't willing to leave us in our sin. God wasn't content to leave us in our brokenness, but he's the God who comes down. He extends a hand down to humanity in the midst of our brokenness, and he lifts us up. And I want you to think about who you can become in light of what God has done for you. I want you to think about the possibilities that God has for you when you really believe that he's a God who can restore you. He's a God who can meet you at your point of need and lift you up. And here's the truth. I can't explain why we go through everything that we go through. I can't explain why we go through difficult times. And there are some things that we'll never have answers for in this life. But here's what we believe. I believe God is a God who's able to redeem our pain. He's a God who's able to redeem our suffering. Recently, I was reading about the Japanese art of kintsugi. And it's this art of repairing broken pottery with gold. And so the artist takes this cracked pottery and puts it back together with gold and creates this beautiful work of art that's actually quite valuable. You know, what do when we break a glass or we break some pottery? We throw it away, right? Just the other day, I dropped a coffee mug and I cracked the handle. And, you know, previously I had fixed another cracked coffee mug with some glue and it didn't come out good. So I just threw that mug in the garbage the other day. And the amazing thing here is what this artist does is the artist actually transforms the cracks and the scars of this pottery into something beautiful. Something that we would throw away, the artist transforms into something beautiful. And I think sometimes we feel like our lives are less valuable because we've got some brokenness, we've got some cracks, we've been through some things. But here's what I want you to know, church. Here's what Christmas reminds us of. God is able to bring beauty out of our brokenness. Come on, he's the God who's able to touch your cracks. He's the God who's able to meet you in your brokenness. He's a redemptive God, and he's able to bring beauty out of the brokenness of our lives. I know this past year, we've all experienced some brokenness. I know this past year, we've all gone through some difficult things, but we've also seen God bring some beautiful things out of the midst of our pain. You know, we've seen people in need in ways like never before, but we've seen more people step up to help meet needs like never before. We've seen people hurting like never before, but we've seen people respond to that hurting like never before. I know many of you, you wouldn't want to go through this year again, but here's the truth. As you look back at it, you learned how to love your family like never before. You learned how to be thankful for the things that you had like never before. Many of you, you learned how to hold on to God like never before. And you're deeper and you're stronger and you're better and you have more compassion and you're more full of faith because God was able to bring beauty out of your brokenness. Come on, church, that's who God is. That's what Christmas reminds us of, that God is able to do something beautiful in our lives. He's God with us. And so on this Christmas Eve, when we wonder where God is, when we experience that question that we all experience at times, like, God, where are you? Like, God, do you see me? God, do you see my need? We look at a manger this time of year. We see that baby in a manger, and we're reminded that he's God with us. He's a God who sees us. He's a God who's for us. He's a God who came down to this planet and became one of us, and he redeems us, and he lifts us up. Come on, remember the words of the famous Christmas carol. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. Come on, Christian hope. It isn't the hope that we're never going to experience pain or suffering, that anything bad is ever going to happen again in our lives. No, it's the hope that no matter what we go through, God is ultimately able to redeem it. He's able to redeem it, to repurpose it for his good, to make something beautiful out of our lives. And Christmas is an invitation to experience God's work in our lives afresh, to experience the God who can reach down and touch the broken and cracked parts of our lives and restore it and make our lives into something beautiful. Come on, how many of you want to experience that afresh this Christmas season? I know I do. I think we all do right about now. We need to experience that love of God, to be overwhelmed by the love of the God who is with us, the God who came to us, the God who came down into the mess of this world, into the mess of our lives to lift us to heights that we could never reach without him. So can we just take a moment to embrace that love today? The beautiful thing is it comes to us as a gift in this season of giving, in this season of generosity. God's love comes to us as a gift for us to receive. And I want to invite you to pray with me. Would you open your heart to it afresh? Would you open your heart to that love coming to you afresh in this season? And so, Father, we thank you tonight for who you are. God, we thank you that you are God with us, that you sent your son Jesus, and that his name is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. And Lord, we invite you to redeem and to transform the broken areas of our hearts, of our lives, of our dreams. God, we thank you that you're able to make something beautiful out of the mess that is our lives. You're able to touch us tonight. Lord, I pray for every person watching online tonight that they would be overwhelmed by a sense of your love, that you see them, you see their need, you see their heart, and you're with them. God, we thank you for the greatest news that was ever announced on this planet, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We place our hope in you, we place our trust in you, and we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.